Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Indecision. Overthinking. Second-guessing every choice you make. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Beige on beige on beige. Ugh. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
Hi, this is Debbie, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help you with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. And I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
Yeah, we can also send you samples, fast and free.
Wow, I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, no pressure, no hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Oh, okay, whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming up.
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and save up to 45% site-wide. Rules and restrictions may apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
We're getting smart. Nearly a century later, in the face of unrelenting economic warfare, the United States can no longer continue with a policy of unilateral economic surrender.
Yeah, there's President Trump yesterday calling Liberation Day basically our economic independence day. Welcome into the Mark Cox Morning Show. I was like everybody else. I was glued to the TV watching this thing yesterday because they did, Kim, I don't know how you feel about this, but they did an amazing job kind of keeping the lid on what this was going to look like until they rolled it out.
I was surprised.
Yeah, me too. Like some people, who do we have on yesterday? We had Amanda Head on who said that she had some background reporting on it, but it was off the record and she honored that and couldn't release it. So they must not have given that background to any of the liberal outlets because they would have been leading with it this morning. All of their headlines are Trump tariffs, damage America, threaten trade war, hurt economy, drive up inflation, threaten recession. I mean, those are all the headlines in all of the brilliant mainstream media across
the
country.
They're going off the market reaction, which the market does not like any sort of, not feeling secure, I guess, in what's going to happen. So naturally, the market is going to be fluctuating a little bit.
Yeah, I think it's an old standby to say time will tell. But in this case, time will tell. I think time will tell pretty quickly. I think maybe before the end of the week, next week, because the second set of these, one starts Saturday, the other one starts Wednesday. All these countries that were listed on here, Taiwan and Malaysia and all of them, have until then to call up the U.S. Embassy and say, we've reconsidered our 95% tariff. We're willing to drop that to 30%. Can you imagine what a win that would be for the United States?
Yeah, like Cambodia, 97% tariff. The reciprocal one that we're going to do against them would be 49%. Now, I don't know what we get from Cambodia.
Well,
I'm sure it's something, but I mean, that just goes to show you, these countries have implemented these crazy tariffs on us, and we're not even charging them, in some cases, half of what they're charging us.
We're not threatening anyone, not at all. We're just saying, okay, we see what you're doing to us, we see what you're doing there. We're going to do the same thing to you.
But not even the same, because it's not the same degree of tariff.
Right.
That, I mean, someone, maybe if you're listening, someone explain to me why this is so terrible. Maybe I'm going to eat my own words here, and in a few months, things are just not going to work out like we thought they would. But right now, I don't understand how these countries are so angry that Trump is implementing these when they have them against us and have for years.
I know. It's called a deterrence, and my guess is that if they're really worried, because think of what a blow this could be to their economies. They've been getting away with murder for years, and suddenly every product they ship to the United States is going to have a 30% tax put on it, or whatever the reciprocal tariff is. It's going to get their attention, and that's the whole point of it. And all this panic nationwide in the mainstream media and all of these pointy-headed liberal academic professors doesn't mean anything. You just wait and see. This is going to be a renaissance. I think Donald Trump's exactly right. If it takes a month or two of discomfort to get us there, we're all going to be better off for it in the long run. I truly believe that. Coming up, we'll chat about that with Anthony LaBruna. He's executive director at American Principles Project. Tom Ackerman at the bottom of the hour on the continued winning ways of our St. Louis Blues. How about that? Cardinals with a day yesterday, too, even though there weren't many people there to see it, from what I could tell. The weather probably played some role in that.
Yeah, lowest attendance again.
But it was lowest attendance, so that's a problem.
By the way, really fast, the Blues are going for 11 straight wins. Isn't that the record, Carl? So if they win tonight,
they'll tie the record.
They would tie the record. And then if they win on Saturday against the Avalanche, which we've already beat the Avalanche, like a week ago?
Yes.
Then that would officially break the record, which would be amazing.
I thought their win streak in 2019 was longer than
that. I thought it was 13 initially. I heard 11. I was corrected.
They did not win 13. They won 11 in a row, but they didn't.
Okay.
They got points in 13 games in a row.
I got it. All right. Well, I'm sure Ackerman will straighten us out on that. Right now, though, let's get to our shortlist, Carl, please.
The Mark Cox Shortlist.
Look, you're welcome to say you don't like Elon Musk. I don't like Ben and Jerry. I don't eat their ice cream, but I don't go destroying it. I don't.
Yeah. Thank you, Trey Gowdy. A little bit of common sense there with the difference on how the progressive left acts in this country and how conservatives act in this country when they don't like something. They just stop buying it.
It is estimated that the average American family will pay more than $5,000 out of their pocket to pay for these tariffs.
Yeah, Chuck Schumer hates it. This is going to be a tax on consumers.
What kind of kickback is Chuck Schumer getting from Malaysia and these other places that rob us on tariffs? And why doesn't he care?
We support Donald Trump's policies on tariffs 100%. So, Mr. President, we can't thank you enough.
Yeah, here's the UAW saying Donald Trump is on target here. They're thrilled. They've had lots of Democrats the last few years who have done absolutely nothing for these unions.
A four-year-old boy is dead and another man injured after a motorcycle crash in St. Peter's. The tragedy now sparking serious concerns about motorcycle safety for kids, especially in a state like Missouri, where there is no age limit for young passengers.
Yeah, Fox 2 there on this tragedy that happened out in St. Peter's with this young child being driven on a motorcycle. Have you seen any more details on this, Kim?
Well, that the grandmother is furious that the four-year-old was on the motorcycle in the first place. They were both wearing helmets, and what I've seen, and maybe there's a new update that I've missed, but I didn't see clarification if it was the dad and the child. I just knew it was a man and a child.
Here's the backstory to all of this, because the father of that child has put this out on Facebook, and a copy of the restraining order that he had against the child's mother's boyfriend, right? So the father and the mother were not together. The mother had a boyfriend with a motorcycle. The first time he found out that this person put his child on a motorcycle and took him for a ride, he went to court and said, "You can't do this anymore. This guy doesn't have a driver's license, and I don't want him riding my four-year-old around on a motorcycle." The court, let's see what the date is here. On the 29th of January of this year, the family court issued, he released it here, the family court issued a restriction on this child riding with anybody who didn't have a valid driver's license. So his allegation here is that this guy didn't even have a valid driver's license, and he didn't want his son on this motorcycle. And apparently this guy had put the kid on the motorcycle numerous times. So then he takes him out and, despite this order, drives into a pole that results in the death of the child. This is heartbreaking. Listen to
this. Police say the crash happened here on Mexico Road here in St. Peter's. We're told that the driver of the motorcycle crashed into a utility pole, ejecting the child and the man. Now, police are still searching for answers. Meanwhile, authorities say it raises serious concerns about safety.
I don't know that I'd recommend riding with children. I mean, I know that we're going to probably go throw our kid on the bike and take him around the block or something, but anything could happen. So I don't.
Yeah, they went out and interviewed somebody at the local Harley dealership there. I don't know what. So if you get pulled over and you've got Easton in the car, just strapped in with a seatbelt in the back seat, you're going to get ticketed for not having the child in a proper car mm-hmm. seat. Am I correct about that?
I would think so.
And yet there's no law preventing somebody from taking a 4-year-old child and strapping them on a motorcycle and driving around with them.
Yeah, that's insane.
How can you have one and not the other? I'm just saying, it makes no sense to me.
You're right. That seems like it's something that's just been overlooked for years, and hopefully this is going to be what it takes to get somebody to actually pass a law in Missouri. I don't know what age they would say you have to be X years old to be able to ride on the back of a motorcycle. Certainly not four.
And I don't even know if you could get away with the argument, well, it's my child, I'll do that if I want to, because you couldn't do it if you didn't have a car seat. You would face a ticket for that. There are laws against that. You can't fix stupid. But in this case, there was a restraining order, and it wasn't even this guy's child mm-hmm. whose life he was putting at risk, according to James Spurlock, who says he's the father of Calvin, the young child who died in that crash. What a tragedy. I just, if you hadn't heard that information, I wanted to make sure we got that out there for you this morning. All right, coming up, Anthony LeBrun is going to join me. He's executive director over at American Principles Project, talking about Liberation Day, baby, and what he thinks the impact of these tariffs might be and how quickly things could turn around. We'll be right back.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Hey, it's Jim Costa with Cash the Ticket. It's March, so Mike Valeni and I are all over the tournament again this year. There's just nothing like betting in March. Breakdowns of every region and every game. From conference tournaments to the Final Horn, we'll have the picks and the plays on every single game. Cinderella spotlights, upset alerts, and some of that value for the last team standing. It's tourney time, so hunker down and bet the board with us. Subscribe and listen to Cash the Ticket in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Celebrating Liberation Day, the Mark Cox Morning Show.
Tariffs have also led to political decimation. When McKinley most famously put tariffs on in 1890, they lost 50% of their seats in the next election. When Hart Smoot put on their tariff in the early 1930s, we lost the House and the Senate for 60 years. So they're not only bad economically, they're bad politically.
Yeah, Rand Paul has been consistent, at least. He's always been against tariffs, and he's not happy with what Donald Trump did yesterday. I'd like to have a conversation with Rand Paul to understand that whole thing a little better. I don't know. I do have Anthony LeBrun on the phone with us this morning, executive director at the American Principles Project. And Anthony, welcome aboard. How are you?
I'm doing good. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. So tell me a little bit about your take, your initial reaction to what you heard yesterday with the president and Liberation Day.
Well, I'll just say this. I highly doubt Rand Paul was there at the White House celebrating with the administration. But this is the first step in leveling the playing field for the U.S. You know, for years and years and years, the U.S. has been the only one playing by the rules. And we've been hurt for it. And, you know, I believe in one thing. If tariff those tariff those who tariff us, right? We're just playing the same game that the rest of the world is. And sadly, a lot of our allies and our enemies do this to us. And so I think this is a great first step for the American people, but specifically for American families, because I think this is going to do a lot for the manufacturing sector and bringing jobs back to the U.S.
Yeah, you know, I'm looking at this, and I've still can't find anyone who's come on my program and can defend why it's okay for, I don't know, I'm going to pick on Indonesia, Malaysia. According to that list the president had yesterday, they impose a 93% tariff on U.S. goods coming into their country. The U.S. charges on average 2-3%, maybe 4% for some countries. Who thinks that's okay?
I don't think anyone thinks that it's okay. I think there's people in the back pockets of these countries who are lobbying the U.S. government to prevent tariffs being implemented on their country, right? I mean, you're talking about some countries like Cambodia, who has a 97% tariff rate on U.S. goods.
Yeah.
And I think that the overall picture is what Americans need to understand with these tariffs is that the U.S. economy is the biggest market in the world. And if you want a seat at the table to sell to American consumers, you have to pay a fee for that.
Yeah.
What do you think the odds are of some of these countries coming to Trump over the next week or so as these are starting to roll out and take effect and saying, you know what, we've reconsidered things. Let's lower ours and maybe you'll lower yours.
I think that's the effect he wants. I don't think it's just President Trump who's going to hear from all these foreign leaders and dignitaries. I think it's going to be everybody in the administration from J.D. Vance to all the agent secretaries. This is what he wants. This is going to level the playing field for us. And I think overall, President Trump is a very rational man in the sense of that when he makes a decision and follows through on an action, he wants a certain result. And I think that's exactly what he wants to see is these foreign dignitaries and leaders coming to him and saying, okay, we're going to drop ours, you drop yours.
Yeah. Anthony LeBrun, our guest from the American Principles Project. I had a bite yesterday from 1987 where Donald Trump was on with Oprah Winfrey, and I think he was on CNN, and he was talking about the same thing in 1987. And the only thing I can really compare that to is if you go back in history and you look at the speeches Ronald Reagan was giving in the 1950s and the 1960s about communism, those are the same things he was preaching when he got elected president of the United States, and he implemented to defeat the Soviet Union.
Exactly. And I think the thing about Trump is, like, you know, you see that in 1977, you see him now in 2025, he follows through on his promises. He's already got multiple U.S. companies committed to coming back and restoring manufacturing with the implementation of these tariffs so that they avoid these. And, you know, Apple, one of the biggest, who is over there doing billions and billions of dollars with China, is right now invested or going to be investing $500 billion into the U.S.
Yes. Yeah, they're going to realize quickly that the quickest way around it is to have a plant or something, some production in the U.S., or they could just cut their tariffs. I think it's a pretty simple solution here. Anthony, we appreciate your time this morning. Thank you.
Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Good to get Anthony LeBrun on there from the American Principles Project. I'm still waiting. I have scoured the internet looking for people I could invite on here who could defend the current situation instead of just whining about the fact that we're going to start a trade war. I don't want to hear that. I'm sick of hearing that. Why have we let these countries abuse us and have an unfair trade balance for all these years? Somebody's got to be getting paid off for it. I just don't know who. Coming up, we're going to get to Tom Ackerman and talk more about the Blues winning streak. We'll be right back.
Celebrating Liberation Day, the Mark Cox Morning Show.
great sports mind like Tom Ackerman.
Baseball's really not a hard sport.
It is Anchor Man, not Anchor Lady.
It's like powered by coffee this morning.
Sports, sponsored by McDonald's, reminding you to round up your total for Ronald McDonald House Charities on your next order.
All right, Tom Ackerman, how do we not lead off with the Blues in this streak they're on, huh?
Oh, I'll give you one reason why I would lead with something else.
Uh-oh, okay.
Because Ivan Herrera hit 3 home runs yesterday in the Cardinals' win over the Angels, okay. 12-5. That is an awesome performance.
That is,
man,
a new name for me.
Ivan Herrera, well, get to know him. He's okay. Going to be a big force in this league. The Cardinals love his talent, and they have been tantalized by it to the point where he's not a very good defensive catcher, but they play him anyway. And that's why, right there. He hit 3 home runs in the ballgame yesterday. He can crush the ball. All he does is put the barrel on the bat, the barrel of the bat on the ball. I think he is very special, and I think at some point he'll be a middle-of-the-order hitter for this franchise, and maybe as soon as this year. I mean, he looked great yesterday. He's one of the best hitters on this team, I think. And the Cardinals won the game. Look, the Cardinals are not going to be the prettiest sometimes. They're going to make some mistakes here and there. They're going to let people back into the ballgame, but they are fun. I mean, I will say this for them. That's an entertaining brand of baseball they play. They are one of the best hitting teams in baseball right now. They're averaging 7 runs a game. They crushed the ball yesterday to the point where they won 12-5. They scored 7 runs in the 8th inning to put the game away. They're fun. I mean, that's a fun brand of baseball right now. And, you know, they run the bases well. They play good defense. They got some flashy players. They got some personality, some youth. You know, they bounce around in the dugout. Those players are fired up.
Well, maybe it'll drive more people to the ballpark because I know they've hit 2 record low attendance. What was it, Tuesday and Wednesday,
yeah,
or something like that?
I'm not concerned about it. I think that fans will do what they want to do. I've never, ever, ever told fans what to do. So, you know, I would encourage you to go to the game if you want. But if you're protesting this team for some reason, then go for it. I mean, you do what you want. I would never – these Cardinals fans have been around for years. They understand the game. They love the game. I would never, ever doubt them. I'm just telling you that this team is a fun brand, and if you want to come support the players, go for it, because I think they're a group that actually is worth pulling for. But, you know, do what you want to do.
Time may prove me wrong on this, but I think that the poor attendance Sunday and yesterday had more to do with the weather forecasters telling you that Armageddon was coming. Like, who wanted to be at the ballpark at noon yesterday, yeah, when that's when this line of storms was supposed to move through?
Well, it's the perfect recipe of, yeah, you know, but, you know, Savannah Bananas would have sold out this weekend.
But
if you had told them the Bananas are going to play even though the storm is coming, I guarantee that place is full.
Okay. All right. I get your point.
You know, so yes, but also I think it's the combo of kids are in school, people have things going on, early starts to the games Monday, Tuesday, and definitely a day game Wednesday. Cold, like you said, a little rainy, windy. But mostly there has been this like protest of Bill DeWitt and John Mozeliak and that regime. John Mozeliak's leaving. Heim Bloom is taking his place. There is a youth development underway and a change in this organization that I think people are going to enjoy. But you could say all that all day. You have to win, and you have to give people a product worth going to see.
And they're winning. Are they gonna import any of those funny looking bats that the Yankees are using right now?
Talked to Ollie Marmol about it on Tuesday, actually, okay, and he said that they have known about it for a while. This is not news to baseball people. These torpedo bats have been talked about for a while now. Just because the Yankees started using them and it got out publicly that everybody's talking about it, but you know, not all the Yankees use them. Aaron Judge doesn't use it. And he seems to hit just fine. I think it's a fun thing that people are trying out in the game. And, yeah, they'll probably take a look at it and play around with it. But some of their hitting coaches have been looking into it for a while now.
Okay. Yeah. I just wondered.
So you think we'll get 11 wins in a row? I feel like we do have to talk about it. So this is the record tonight.
Sorry I spent so much time on the Cardinals.
That's okay.
But I felt like saying that. I think the team is actually fun. And Herrera hitting 3 bombs yesterday was really, really great. Yes, I'm going to go tonight.
Nice.
And I really love this team. I've been all year long wondering if this team had what it took. And this is all Jim Montgomery. Monty took the team, that Four Nations faceoff break, into like we had him on. He talked about it, a sort of like a mini training camp. And Doug Armstrong, we had him on. He talked about it as well. He took him and he basically said, this is the way we're going to play. You're either in or you're out. I mean, are you on board with me? And since that time, when they got after it and they implemented his system during that break, 16-2-2 is their record. That's unbelievable.
Yeah.
I mean,
did you want to say a curse word?
Unfreaking believable. 16-2-2 over that time.
I know.
It's just mind-boggling, and they are very much in this race as a top wildcard team. I'd actually like them to be right where they are instead of climbing a little bit higher. I don't want to play Dallas early. I'd rather play Vegas. I'd take Vegas all day. First
Vegas
round.
Vegas or Winnipeg?
Sure. I'd rather take Vegas. Vegas right away and take them down and then keep advancing. I think the Blues will be a tough out. They are a fascinating team. And why is all this happening? Montgomery. But also they have a lot more speed than they used to have. And I look at a guy like Kyrou as a perfect example of how this has all worked out. Kyrou obviously has great skill, and he has great speed. And he scored that goal that tied the game against the Red Wings. But something happened early in that overtime period where it might have been the end of regulation, early overtime period, where he comes out, boom, he hits a guy right center ice, bam, right. Just drills him. I'm like, what in the world? Jordan Kyrou has become like Jeff Cortinall or something. He's just crushing people. And I thought that was really great. I mean, you didn't see that out of him previously, but every time I look at the box score, I see Jordan Kyrou hits three. You know, he has become a good two-way player, and that's Jim Montgomery for you. The Montgomery effect on these players, telling them, you want to play in this league? You can't just go skate around and for YouTube highlights. I mean, you got to be a great player all the time. And that's what makes them great.
What's your time constraint here today, Tom?
Got to go do a 6:45 sportscast. So if you can get me out in about 30 seconds.
All right. All right. Well, you're welcome to go, my friend.
All right. I guess I got to go. I guess I got to go. It's always great talking sports with you all.
It is.
I'll see you all at Enterprise Center tonight. Bye, Carl.
Yes, sir.
I'll be there.
See you, buddy.
All right.
Are you going to be in seats or are you going to be in?
Seats. Seats, yeah.
I'll text you.
All right. Text me.
I hope they can. I'm pulling for the Blues. I know. I'll be the first to admit it. I haven't really paid. I mean, obviously, I report on the scores, but I haven't been as excited about them just because they were doing so great. And now it just feels reminiscent of 2019, and we needed this, St. Louis. I know, everyone. Don't say that. You're going to jinx it. We needed this after a really crappy season for the Cards last year. I feel like St. Louis sports fans in general, Mizzou, you really sucked at the very end. Sorry. I was excited
football
about
basketball.
Basketball. Yes. Well, both.
Celebrate
maybe.
The win. You had a great season.
I know, but we flopped at the end, and I'm not happy about it. I'm just saying that we needed this as a city, like some team to rally behind, and the Blues are that right now.
Yeah. And maybe the Cardinals, showing some signs of life, will start to put more butts in the seats moving forward.
I'm sure
we're going on the
11th,
right, Carl? Is that right?
I'm going too.
We're all going.
Friday.
We're all going on the 11th, right?
I thought our seats were going to be different than what they actually are.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. Wait, I
we'll
saw
have to
that.
Talk about that. I didn't see that. I did not see that.
You thought you were in a suite.
I did.
Oh. You are. Not
we always have been.
We're not in a suite.
Really?
No.
Oh,
wait. Does that mean that I don't get to try all the food?
No, that's different.
For the party.
That's different.
No, I'm talking about for the game. We'll talk about it during a commercial.
All
break.
Right. Yeah.
No one wants to hear our woes about us.
No, yeah. No one feels bad for us.
Game.
They're probably like, you know, you want a hamburger and whatever they say, French fries.
We'll get to in other news coming up in just a couple of minutes.
What's happening?
Go, you know the thing.
What the hell is going on?
In other news.
Carl's favorite country singer Morgan Wallen recently stirred controversy during his Saturday Night Live appearance by abruptly leaving the stage before the customary closing segment. He later posted on his Instagram story featuring a private jet with a caption says, "Get me to God's country," which meant many interpreted it as a desire to leave New York
Get
City.
Get me out of New York City. I felt the same way
exactly.
The last time I was there.
Did you actually watch this, though?
I did not.
It wasn't as bad as people were making it
was
seem.
Was it just unintentional? Was it intentional or unintentional?
I don't know. But
he
walked
across the camera.
Okay,
well, he did do that.
I assume it wasn't just him being clueless. But it's not like she was saying bye and the credits were rolling. It's not like, you know, she's mid-sentence and
normally,
he's just taking off.
They did hug. He hugged Mikey Madsen, and then he left.
It
Normally they hug the cast.
Maybe it was intentional. People made it such a bigger deal than it needed to be.
He had places to go and chairs to throw.
Well, the good news is, though, he's capitalizing on this.
Actually pretty funny.
He's launching a merchandise with the phrase, get me to God's country.
So oh, nice.
If you want a t-shirt or a trucker hat, they start at about $45.
That's going to be a no.
I'll pass. Thank you.
Because he needs more money.
I mean, he's...
To pay for the fees that he probably got fined from throwing the chair.
Police officers.
Yeah.
Hey,
unintentionally at police officers. They just happen to be standing there.
Private jets aren't free. Somebody got to pay for them.
He did throw chairs off a third story.
As we all do at some point in our life, Carl.
Yeah, we've all been there.
He has a drinking problem.
Who hasn't thrown a chair off a third-story building?
Derailed. Keanu Reeves is officially going to be returning to John Wick with John Wick Chapter 5. It was announced by Lionsgate. This development comes despite the ambiguous conclusion of John Wick 4.
Spoiler hasn't warnings. He already killed everyone? Like, yeah. I love me some John Wick, but
they killed his dog.
It would be mathematically impossible to shoot that many bullets and have that many fired at you and to never get hit.
The first three chapters of John Wick take place in 1 week.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
They're also doing an animated prequel, a spinoff with Donnie Yen's character Kane. And then wanting your John Wick fix, you can see him in Ballerina, which is coming out on June 6th.
Is that Ana de Armas?
Ana de Armas.
Mm.
After being shelled by Warner Brothers in 2023, the live-action animated film Coyote vs. Acme has found a new life. Carl is excited.
Did I hear Sue go, ugh?
She did.
Sue. I mean, that cartoon just drove me bonkers.
Yes, but it's... Wile E. Coyote suing Acme for everything that they've done. I
love
to
that.
It is.
I love that.
That's 2 minutes.
I have no clue what you guys are talking about.
You know what the Roadrunner and Wile E. Coyote?
Wile E. Coyote.
Okay, I know the Roadrunner.
So he ordered all of his rockets and all of his different things to catch the Roadrunner from a company called Acme, which was made up at the time. Now he's suing them for all of his failures. That's
a great premise.
Do you not see this glazed look she's got over here just like staring?
Sue and Kim are on the same page. Mark and I are on the same page.
It'd be like Joe Biden suing AutoPen, right? It's just something like that. It's a good premise. Go ahead.
It's going to get it was bought by Ketchup Entertainment for $50 million. There, you're going to play in a theatrical release next year. It's going to star John Cena and Will Forte as well as Wile E. Coyote as he sues Acme Corporation. So there you go. If you want to go see it, it's going to be out next year.
We'll eat a charcuterie board, Kim.
Sounds good to me.
Well, okay, so my daughter's in animation. She said that the animation community was very upset that this film's been finished for 2 years, and they're like, oh, we're not going to release it.
Because of a tax write-off.
Yeah.
Mm. They did this with they finished three movies, and then they were like...
Like Batgirl.
Yeah, we're not going to release them. We'll take the tax write-off. Let's talk about it. Hooters of America has filed Chapter 11 bankruptcy protection in U.S. bankruptcy court in Northern District of Texas. I mean, that's it. They're bankrupt. They're
not mad
bankrupt.
About this.
I'm going to get in a little bit of trouble for saying this.
Here we go.
But
their wings are really good.
No, their chicken sandwiches got
nothing to do with it. Their standards have dropped. And I think for people that went there for the reason the restaurant was created... Probably lost interest at some point. That's all I'm saying. That's all I'm saying.
I can. Really
what are you laughing at me for?
Oh,
their standards dropped, and I think probably for that reason, maybe other restaurants like Twin Peaks are getting more business these days. I could be wrong about that.
Their standards dropped in people or in food?
Employees.
Oh, jeez.
I'm just being honest. I'm just saying.
They're non-fried food. Their chicken sandwich is actually pretty good.
The whole premise of Hooters and Twin Peaks just gives me the heebie-jeebies.
Twin Peaks? I didn't even know that existed.
Oh, yeah.
There's one right there on Brentwood and Hanley.
They look like loggers.
What do their dads think? Like, my daughter just got a brand new job. Where? Hooters. Let me see your uniform. Do they watch their daughters dress in those little tank tops and short shorts and walk out the door and they're really proud?
I don't think there are very many 16-year-olds working there. Most of these people are adults, so I guess they're making their own decisions.
And working through college.
Doesn't mean that their dad doesn't know where they work and has thoughts on it.
Mine wouldn't be working there while she's still under my roof. I'm just saying. Just pointing that out. All right. Coming up, we're going to get to former Senator Jim Talent, and we'll talk to Diane Foley, the founder of the Foley Foundation, fighting to return hostages everywhere. We'll be back in just a minute.
Get more at 971talk.com.